there we go. Lovely. So we're very, very lucky to have Kay Hannan here today with us. Kay is the head of forensic services for Thames Valley Police, and she's giving this really interesting talk as part of our Erasmus Plus project, and it's on a really fascinating subject. So sincere thanks to you, Kay, for today, and it's over to you.
Thank you very much. So I believe you're driving my presentation, aren't you, Amanda? So if we just pop up the first slide, which is just a little introduction of who I am, and just a quick hello to everyone. So thank you for the opportunity for coming today and getting a chance to talk to you all about this fascinating area of science. I've been with Thames Valley Police just short of 20 years now, and I've spent most of my forensics career within Thames Valley Police. So it spans quite a range of disciplines, which we'll talk about later. But I thought what would be really helpful, especially for some of your students that are perhaps at that point in their life thinking, gosh, what do I do? Where do I go? What do I want to be when I grow up? Take you through a bit of an initial journey about what brought me to this point here, and then go into detail a bit more about what forensic science is and what it might mean as a career if you were interested in that field of science. So if we move on from there, Amanda. So this is everyone's spot the awful 80s and 90s hairdos, but this is just a little walk through my childhood, really. So in the top left, you can see this angelic little face of me as a one-year-old, moving through to my primary school years, where I had a real sense of adventure, loved being involved with groups, really thought that I was going to be a teacher, outward bound. Then I found my love for the arts, found myself on the stage and dancing. But that quickly fell to the wayside when I joined the Scouts and entered into the Duke of Edinburgh Award. And my love of the outdoors and kind of thinking about science and nature really started to kind of pull together those senses of exploration and understanding about the natural world. So I thought that I had a natural affinity, therefore, for biology. And you'll see that bottom right-hand corner is me having made a double helix DNA out of Quality Street and marshmallows. So an excellent session that was. But that was really my journey, and my love of science kind of came about through the exploration and the activities that I did as a child moving forward. But I still got to that point and wasn't really sure what to do with that science in desire. So if we move on again, Amanda, I've just kind of represented that, and click again, that kind of mind map of everything that I thought about in those formative years up to about the age of 14, 15, when I had to start making those decisions about the options I wanted to take forward. So I was anything from a brain surgeon to a tap dancer, astronaut, vet, you name it, I had considered it. And I finally was settling on science, and I did biology, chemistry and maths at A level, and I did an additional extra part of physics just for 1 year as an AS level. And it was there because I was dipping my toe into all these various realms of science. I knew that I had an affinity with it, but I still hadn't quite got to grips with what I wanted to do. And it was clear after doing a sixth form secondment with a university that had a medical school attached over a summer period that medicine was my love. I thought, gosh, that's it. I'm going to go into medicine. Wasn't quite sure yet what was it going to be, midwife, nurse, doctor, still with that brain surgeon idea. So I started that period of time on my A-levels, and I finally chose the university to go to. And I chose to go to Leicester University. So if you move on, Amanda, I managed to get my initial, click again, thank you. My first degree was in medical biochemistry. And my reasoning for choosing that was that I was able to deliver the same syllabus as the medical students for the first year. I still hadn't 100% decided that medicine was for me, but it also gave me an opportunity if at the end of that first year that I wasn't going to go and do the full medical course, I could move on to a biochemistry degree and actually get a richer biochemistry style degree that would help me perhaps with that research world. So here I am at the end of year one, and I'm like, I've got to make that decision. And I had an amazing lecturer, and it's those formative people in your life that come in and kind of really inspire you. And he said, have you thought about forensic science? I said, what? What's that then? And he said, well, you've got this real love of biology, but you're not quite sure medicine's for you, and you're not sure that the laboratory's for you. How about using your skills in a forensic way? So I was able to speak to a few people, and actually there was a forensic science service laboratory within the outskirts of Leicester, and I went and spent 2 weeks working alongside them, doing some of the applications that they do, and I thought, yes, this is it. So having got my degree in Leicester, I was then worked for a period of time and moved across to King's College in London, where I did a master's in forensic science. And I spent a year more vocational application of those science capabilities to actually understand how I could apply them into that forensic world. And that was a really rich process of picking off all of the small areas of science. And it is absolutely vast, the opportunities that you can have with science to deploy it within a forensics world. But it really kind of allowed me to dip my toe into all of those different disciplines and understand where I could perhaps really take this passion further forward. So you want to click on again, please, Amanda. So talking about forensic science, it's probably useful to understand what forensic science is, and then you can start to demystify the kind of this ooh-ness about it that's often provided in all the TV programs. It's essentially the application of scientific methods and techniques to matters under investigation by a court of law. So essentially, anything that you can do in a forensic laboratory is actually just a scientific process, but applied to the requirements of a court of law. So if you're a pollen expert, if you're an expert in badger sets, if you're an expert in the footprints of frogs in Outer Mongolia, you could ultimately be called upon if that is necessary to support the investigation of crime. Now, they are very rare. So actually, you're probably not going to have a really fulfilled career if that is your area of expertise. But what is really interesting to understand is actually the vast opportunities available to you if actually you just go for a really good science-based degree. And that would be into biology, chemistry, even a maths degree. And as an emerging area of business is the digital side. So that cyber piece of work as well is huge. So if we click onto the next slide, it gives you that opportunity to see, and it's not particularly clear, but the point of putting this forward is really for you to see that range of skills and opportunities that all of those different areas of science deliver. So we've got the IT multimedia, which is probably the fastest growing area of forensic science that there is. You know, there isn't anyone these days that isn't walking around with some form of digital data sat in their pocket. And it is incredible how people are willing to give up their lives to Google, but will be very uncertain about sharing the same level of detail with their family and friends. So when we carry that much information in our pockets, that is a really rich source for police investigations to understand how we can build a bigger picture around some of the things that happen. There's the traditional biology and DNA side of things. So we're looking at samples that are left at crime scenes and samples that we can acquire from a person to actually help link and create that principle known as the LOCARD principle, where every contact leaves a trace. And that's the principle that we absolutely are guided by within forensics, that whilst you can find some sort of linkage to another item, we can actually use that for that criminal investigation. Chemistry and instrumental analysis, huge amounts of work in chemistry from firearms, from paint samples, from tool marks, toxicology, drugs, anything and everything. Hair samples are often used in our chemistry world, as well as nail clippings, as well as the gunshot residue that's scraped from a surface, paint residue taken from a car or from a tool. So there's loads of really interesting areas that doesn't necessarily have to formulate the normal routes that you would perceive a chemist to take in that research world. The physics and the pattern side of things. So this is physical biology and physical chemistry. And this is looking more at that finger mark impressions, footwear mark impressions, where we can actually see the unique surface of an item that's actually been left behind on another item. So we are looking, applying our visual skills, our common sense skills, but then applying those scientific processes on top of those to actually reveal and identify those marks that have been left, marks and traces. So we're looking also at using different light sources, laser light sources. So there's lots of people using their physics just to develop those light sources. Different things fluoresce at different wavelengths. We would be looking for different body fluids, looking for different substances that have been left behind. And it really allows you to take whatever science you're considering into another realm, but actually apply it back to that forensic application. And then the typical, what's always in the TV and the movies, is your crime scene, death investigation. So they're the people going out in their white coats, picking up trace evidence that's captured at the crime scene. They may be taking fibre tapings. They may be catching things that will have that DNA evidence left behind on them. They will be planning and plotting the route, identifying the likely movement of someone into and out of a crime scene, looking for those points of entry and points of exit. They will also be supporting the body as its own crime scene. So they will be involved in the examination and subsequent post-mortem of that body, because the body itself, although can't speak, is holding many, many clues as to perhaps what happened to them in those last moments of life. So it's a really interesting world to get into, but you don't necessarily have to deal with the human flesh as it currently stands. You may be really interested in anthropology, so your specialism is just about the bones. You have people that their specialism is just around the gait that someone takes. So you're a CCTV analyst that is looking at the walking patterns of someone, the walking style of someone. Do they shrug? Do they stand up tall? Do they sit with their chin forward? Do they come with their chin back? All of these really interesting nuances about a person are actually captured and delivered also as part of that evidential bundle. So the physicality side of the crime scene, whilst they're taking their science knowledge to apply it, the science around crime scene investigation is a lot more about common sense and an inquisitive mind. So actually less about the true application of science in those areas. But it's often misunderstood that that's where many of the other areas of science come into play and are absolutely vital to build that larger picture when you're taking something forward to court. I think we've got a really quick little video, which is just a bit of an introduction about some of those areas of science that are actually delivered within our services here at Thames Valley. And then I can talk more after that one, if that's possible, Amanda.
Sorry. Sorry, I am coming back.
That's okay. If it doesn't play, I can always make it available to you.
Fantastic, thank you. I should be able to get it back into it. I'm so sorry, Kay. I seem to have lost where I can find it. I just stopped sharing my screen. Can you still see the presentation?
No, I think you're sharing something for work. It doesn't matter, Amanda, don't worry. We can play that at another point, and I can just add some further detail as I go through the pictures.
If that's okay, I'm very sorry about that. I will share the video separately.
That's fine. It's just a short minute that was just to kind of bring in some context of what I was saying, but I'll talk that through instead. Did you want to bring, the presentation isn't on my screen, but that might be.
Sorry, I practiced this, so here we go. All best laid plans. Sorry, everyone. Can't seem to get up my Zoom. Right, let me share again. I can share you the video now, I'm so sorry. Thank you.
it worked.
Good. I'll
lovely.
Now share again.
Thank you. Okay, so I thought it would be useful just to, on the back of some of the things that you just saw just there. When I first joined Thames Valley back in 2001, I joined as a fingerprint development technician, which looks at the fingerprint enhancement. And we saw in the video a couple of the team carrying different exhibits and hanging them up. That's very much using different technical processes to actually reveal those marks that were made and left behind by others. So there is that's quite a significant part of the services we deliver here in Thames Valley to actually provide evidence from the crime scene and recover those fingerprints and footwear marks and sometimes ear marks, believe it or not, as well, that can actually be used for a comparison against a set of known prints. So we saw in that video a fingerprint paperwork that will have had a set of prints taken at the time of someone being arrested, or it could actually be an elimination set. So if you were unfortunate enough to be a victim of crime, you'd have your own fingerprints taken so that we can eliminate any prints that we find from items that we have seized at that time as well. And just an interesting fact is that fingerprints are one of the only things that actually you will not share with an identical twin. So those of you who are already involved with DNA analysis or looking at DNA within your biology work, you'll know that you can actually have identical DNA with your identical twin, but you can't have identical fingerprints. So it's one of those really key areas. It's the oldest form of forensic science that's around. For over 120 years now, we've been using fingerprints to help us with crime scene analysis, and it is still as used today as it was then. I then moved on to becoming a senior forensic laboratory technician, and this was doing more about capturing some of those other crime scene marks, actually taking a lot of my skills out and delivering them directly into the crime scene. So that's utilising laser lights, different chemical processes within the situ of the crime scene to recover those marks and trace evidence. It's incredible, if you were to take a vial of blood and spin it really fast in a centrifuge, the plasma that's often found at the top of the blood, because all the blood cells would fall to the bottom, that's a really sticky substance. And actually, even when it's not obviously you've got blood in an environment, the sticky plasma is left behind in quite significant volumes that we're able to enhance with lasers and chemical processes. And the footwear mark in that was actually a bloody footmark that you cannot see with natural eye light, white light. So we had to use laser light sources as well as special chemicals to fluoresce the properties within that to recover that. The fingerprint mark on that glass bottle also was captured as a result of fluorescent techniques. So these are all processes we use either in the crime scene or outside of the crime scene, depending on how removable the item is. Obviously, taking someone's entire kitchen floor is not possible, hence why we have to do some of those things in scene. So once I'd finished my role as the forensic laboratory technician, I actually moved across into the digital forensics world, which was a complete change for me, having always come from a biochemistry background. But it was an emerging area of science that I was really fascinated with and actually has now exploded in the last 10, 15 years to being the most dominant form of forensic science within our services. I don't know if you managed to catch on that little video, but the amount of data that we now carry around in our pocket is phenomenal. That's one further on, Amanda, but that's fine. Leave that. That's fine. The amount of data we hold in our mobile phones is actually quite a staggering amount. And if we were to having to examine that as if it was data in a filing cabinet, you would need to back up about 3 or 4 articulated lorries full of paper these days just to download your average iPhone. So we have to use huge processing tools and analytics to help us find the evidence, find that needle in a haystack that we now have in our digital devices in our pocket. So it's been quite a fascinating learning curve for me, entering the world of artificial intelligence and data analytics. But I can definitely see how it has opportunities to cut across into the modern forensic world, as well as the traditional forensic sciences of fingerprint analysis and DNA analysis. So it's a cutting edge point at the moment. And I think if you're entering forensics at this time, actually moving into that digital world is a really exciting opportunity. And I would definitely encourage people to move forward in a career that takes them into a world where technology is very much at the heart of the science that they're delivering. So going on to the one we have just seen them pop up, but I then became head of digital forensics, which not only encompassed the areas where they're downloading digital devices, but we started looking at CCTV as a key area of analytics, but also sound and noise evidence, but also digital mapping. So actually going into a crime scene, recreating the crime in a 3D virtual world, which we can sterilise and actually therefore make it less obtrusive, but also less scary. So we're delivering those 3D imagery into the crime scene, into the court. So we're not having to expose people to traumatic experiences. We can actually sanitise them slightly to really support the welfare, not only of those that have been involved with managing the crime scene, but also the jury who are later having to make some decisions around the impact of that case, not having to see the really awful imagery firsthand. So that's another area of science that I then took over as that senior manager role. And we have taken that forward. And now, you know, I'm quite proud to say are seen as one of the centres of excellence for delivering crime scene to court type of capability within digital forensics. Now, only a year ago, if you'd like to move on, Amanda, only a year ago, I took over as the head of all forensic services within Thames Valley. So that's encompassing my CSI teams, which are the ones that go out and actually acquire the evidence directly at scenes and within the environments. I also am in charge of the Viper teams. Now, the Viper teams are those that actually do the video imagery and e-fit. So we no longer have the traditional 5 or 6 people off of the street standing in a row trying to decipher who they may have been classed as the victim. We will actually have that all created in a virtual world. But the imagery is so incredible. This picture here is meant to depict a victim in on the left, the gentleman, and actually on the right is our eFit drawers who are actually taking some main drawings and actually providing them into a digital software. And from those drawings, they're able to match against representations that she's created to bring up this identity image of a proposed suspect. So this is also moving into that digital world. It's applying some artistry, some non-scientific techniques as such, but using the digital capability to take this forward. I just wanted to touch slightly on my career. So it's been a really varied and exciting opportunity to take science in a completely different way than I traditionally set out at school. And I think it's just realising how your passion for one area of science, whatever field it is in, can actually be applied in a very different way if you have access to understanding how that science could be used. So I'm very passionate about making sure that students have the knowledge to help them make those informed choices moving forward. All I would say is there are very many degrees out there that are now offering forensics as part of the title. And whilst I think they will offer you a really exciting opportunity to gain some knowledge around forensics, my advice would be to still make sure you get a really good science degree in a field of science that you feel really comfortable in. Having lots of goes at everything as your initial degree, actually, from my experience of students that have come from a university environment into my workforce, really do struggle with not having perhaps some of the really embedded basics of some of those science knowledge. And I think if you're able to hone your skills into one area, but appreciating that once you've really embedded the foundations of that skill into that science knowledge, you can then diversify much more greatly within that forensics world than if you've diversified too early, if that makes sense. So that would just be my knowledge to you and what I've experienced when I've had students come to us for their first roles within the force. I think we want to leave a little bit of time for questions, and I know there were some in advance. So if you'd like to move on, Amanda, I've I'll move on to the questions, because I think some of the questions I've already had really evoke some useful conversation. So I was asked, what does forensic science mean to you? And that's a really wide and open question. And I can answer it in two ways. Forensic science to me is really exciting. It's really at cutting edge. It's very diverse. It creates great opportunity for learning and knowledge and change. But it's also about delivering justice. So forensic science for me is actually being an expert to the court. You actually have a really important role in the investigation of crime to support a victim, a loved one, to ensure that they seek the right justice for what's happened to them. So it's a really important job, but it allows you to apply your science knowledge and your love of science in such a way that is unique to, I think, anything else that you could provide your scientific knowledge to. Should we move on? I'm conscious of time. Move through them. What is a day in the life of a forensic scientist like? Can it be repetitive? Now, this is really interesting, depending on how you answer it. So, yes, it's repetitive. If you're working in a scientific role where you are looking at the DNA analysis of samples that are seized, there will always be an element of repetition. You're ultimately going to be analysing samples. But every case that passes your hands will be different. So the narrative as to what the reasoning for doing that examination will change every single time. Similarly, crime scenes. If you are a crime scene scientist, you will never see the same crime scene twice. Even if you are told it's a burglary or it's a theft of motor vehicle, there will always be something different that faces you. Murder scenes are thankfully relatively rare, but they are very complex and therefore deliver a lot of change for quite a significant amount of time. So whilst they are repetitive in so much you're looking for those common approach paths, you're seizing trace evidence, you will have a very rigid approach to how you're managing the body in situ, it will be completely different because all of the things that you have to consider, like the weather, like the time of the year, what's the access route like? Are we on a main road? Are we in a field? You know, all of those things change every day. So forensic scientists can be repetitive in the processes you're undertaking, but every day is different because the crime is different. And that's what makes it exciting. The reasons and the questions you're asking yourself and what you're trying to answer from the information you find will always change. What skills are most important to progress in the role of forensic science? I think I've probably covered that in terms of your academic skills, you know, good level of English, good level of science, and hone your skills into something that you're really passionate about. Don't try and pick off many different areas of science in the hope that something that you really enjoy might fit. I would just really bed in one really good level of science on one specific discipline. But also you need to have a bucket load of common sense. You know, some of this is having an inquisitive mindset and asking questions. And I think if you are someone who often asks why about something, you are absolutely perfect for this because no things are ever the same. And even if you've seen things three different times, you will always find a different way of doing it and a different way of approaching it. So it's really important to keep that open mind, that common sense approach and that inquisitive mindset, and then you will be really beneficial to the overall investigation. How do you think forensic science will change over the next few years? Well, I think in the same way that most technologies are changing, the explosion of digital forensics is going to be quite significant. And so with like the likes of what you hear in the news around cybercrime and hacking and being able to interact in that cyber environment, a lot of our crime is changing the way it's being masterminded. And so we really need to make sure we are in front of the curve rather than always chasing onto the tails of those technologists who are able to exploit different ways of committing crime. So I think digital landscape will definitely be where this is taking off. And also the implementation of digital ways of working will change the way that we approach some of our more common traditional forensic approaches as well around fingerprints and DNA. So I think that for me is going to be the biggest and most challenging but most exciting change that we'll see in this next decade. I'm asked, knowing what you know now, would you still choose this career? Absolutely. I absolutely love what I do. Every day is different. Even though I've moved to a position where I'm now in charge of all the teams delivering the different forensics disciplines, I still get that absolute buzz out of the fact that I am delivering a quality service to the public and supporting victims of any nationality, creed, age, that people that who are phoning, picking up the phone, seeking support, we are there for them to deliver that service and give them a voice. Regrettably, many of the people that we are supporting no longer have an actual voice to tell us what happens. And it's us that are bringing those clues together and supporting us to deliver that change. What is the most challenging aspect of your role? I suppose adapting the work-life balance, juggling a family. The shifts can be grueling. There is an expectation if you start out on a crime scene, you will see it through. I've, in my past, definitely done 20 plus hour days to get the job done. But I think that's the same for any emergency service. And I think you need to go in with an open mind. It doesn't happen often, and you've got amazing comrades, amazing colleagues around you to deliver that camaraderie and get you through those really difficult times. But it's also that real sense of achievement, and what you've achieved for that victim is quite incredible. You know, it can be traumatic, and we have fantastic support networks around us with our occupational health service and through our trauma teams to really help support us in the aftermath for as long as we need. And, you know, those teams' morale around us to really support us when we're having a bit of a difficult day. So it's never, you're never left on your own, and you're never made to feel that you're suffering on your own. I have to admit that there have been a few jobs that have never left me, but in the main, I've always come away with a real sense of achievement and justice for that person. And I think that's what you hold dear to take you through those difficult times. How do you deal with the stress of the job? Well, I think the stress is in any job these days, isn't it? But it's dog walks, fresh air, time with friends, Pilates, trying to take time out and create that space so that you have some time away. And you really have to hold that dear to make sure that you do manage and create that personal resilience. And finally, do you like reading or watching crime thrillers? I have to admit, I'm one of those that has not watched Line of Duty. So I'm yet to find out who H is or what it all means. But I do still like them. I do still like reading them, actually. And yes, it's like a busman's holiday. Often I will read it and think, gosh, they've got that so wrong. Other times I'll think, gosh, they've got that so right. On the whole, the things that they're reflecting are what we have available to us. But the reality is the volumes that we're dealing with it and the pace at which we have to manage our crime scenes are such that we don't get to see the crime necessary from start to finish. We're not involved in the investigation in terms of interviewing the suspects. And we very rarely get to run around the crime scenes and then go back to the lab and then go on to do the interviews. So as much as we'd love to, that's not really the reality for us. But the techniques and the services that they're delivering in those, although they glamorise them and put some really funky lighting on and get hair and makeup done, that isn't necessarily what the reality is like. But I do still like reading them, yes. I think I've covered the main questions that we had on that slide. I just wanted to pause. Have we got any more time, or are there any other questions that have come in? I realise I've had to kind of go through that quite quickly.
I wonder if, I know Anna is thinking of a career in forensics, so I don't know if Anna, you had a particular question for Kay.
Actually, I already sent in the question. I think she answered it.
Okay, that's great. Thank you, Anna.
I am more than happy to provide my contact details for me at work. So if there is anything that any of the students think about or come up with at a later date, I'm more than happy to have a conversation with them if it's something that they're passionate about. It is regrettable at the moment that I'm unable to offer attachments in the force. There's been a change in legislation which means that all attendees have to get vetting, which is a long protracted process. So we're unable to offer work experience, but we are offering taster days. So if you contact me and that's something you're interested in, we can get you on the list so that the vetting process can happen. And we then have like a I think is about 4 month wait list at the moment for the taster days. Obviously COVID hasn't really helped us with that, but it gives you a chance to see forensics departments up close and personal, and a quick review of what could be expected if you were interested in a particular role within the services we deliver within the force. That might be of interest, and I'll share my details with Mrs. Morgan for those.
That's great. Yeah, thank you.
Does anyone else have any questions? Thank Kay very much. Kay, that was absolutely fascinating. If I could change my career, I think I would do it right here and right now, because that sounds absolutely amazing. I'm fascinated by it, and I'm sure those listening today and those who will listen on a future date will find it the same. I found it really interesting that you had chose this career path, and it started with the love of outdoors, and I think that really resonated with me, that you enjoy the natural world, love science and biology, and that love has taken you in this direction, which is absolutely incredible. And what a fascinating job you have, and how your role incorporates so many different parts of science. So for the science students, I think what a fabulous career to pursue.
Absolutely.
Absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for your time today and your really wonderful presentation. I think it's a shame we haven't got all afternoon, really. I'd love to hear more about it. But thank you very much for your time, and thank you for everyone else for joining us for this seminar at lunchtime.
Thank you, Amanda. Like I say, if there is anything that you want me to follow up with or add further detail around a specific area of forensics, then I'm happy to do so anytime.
That's just wonderful. Thank you very, very much. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you then.
Many thanks.
Thanks. Thank you very much from Germany too.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.